So we're reading this morning Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 18. But first, let's have a prayer, please. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be in your house, and it's so good to be reading your word, because indeed, wisdom for life, wisdom for eternal life is contained in your word. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us and help us as we read this Bible verses. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman, and she is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, this is a series of a sermon about banquets. And this past week, we had a banquet here. Our mother-daughter banquet was downstairs. And if you had come on Tuesday, you would see all the tables with nice blue tablecloths and centerpieces and just set so invitingly and hospitably that welcomed our ladies and our mothers and our wives to come and eat and enjoy a night of fellowship together. And I was working in my office trying to write a sermon about banquets and just smelling the aroma of the cooking all afternoon, and you know that aroma stuck around the whole next day. It was really hard to concentrate, but really delicious smelling too. This church does banquets well. You just have a gift for making delicious feasts and inviting people into a warm space to enjoy a time of fellowship and of eating together. But this morning our passage is about an invitation that is sent out, an invitation to a banquet. And the question kind of is, you know, will we respond to Lady Wisdom's invitation, or by default, will we just get suckered into Lady Folly's banquet? So I have a bit of an outline here, and just to put it up there, first we're going to look at the invitation to two banquets. Then I'm going to consider, you know, why we naturally choose Lady Folly's invitation, and then end with a plea to accept Lady Wisdom's invitation. So here are two invitations from two different women, right? Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And the Proverbs speak of these two ways personified often throughout the whole book of just the two ways of living. Are we going to live wisely according to wisdom's instruction? Or are we going to reject that and go according to folly? And the book of Proverbs is really begging the naive, the simple, to choose wisdom, to choose well. And so we have once again, that picture before us in this text. The two banquets presented here couldn't be more different from one another, and yet the invitation, you might have noticed, was the same. What Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly say at the inviting people in is the same invitation. It's, let all who are simple come to my house. But Solomon, who wrote this, gives us the backdrop. He tells us what's behind each house and what those invitations will really lead to. So I want to first look at the difference of the food that is served at these two banquets. Lady Wisdom has been working hard, sacrificially, to provide a good meal for you. The Hebrew is that she's slaughtered her meat. So she's gone out and killed the fatted calf. She's prepared it. She's mixed the wines. She's made them just the right flavor and presented something really good for you. And the idea is that she's set the table. The table's cloths are on. The china's set out there. And everything's just ready. Just come and have a seat. The opposite, Lady Folly, hasn't prepared a thing. She offers bread and water. The water was stolen. And the bread must be eaten in secret. There's something not right about that bread either. She promises something that's delicious, but it really isn't. Doesn't that remind us of the serpent in the Garden of Eden? Promising to Adam and Eve, go ahead and eat that forbidden fruit. Yes, it was supposed to be off limits, but doesn't it look good? Doesn't that look tempting? Isn't that just gonna be what you want? And so Lady Folly's invitation is the same. It promises and it says it's going to be good, but it's going to deliver death. The invitation isn't just to a restaurant, though, to eat the food. The invitation is actually to a hostess as well. And these two ladies couldn't be more different in their character. And that character is going to define what your experience is at that banquet. Lady Wisdom is pictured as giving good advice, insights into life. Well, Lady Folly, she's described as undisciplined. The ESV says a woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. So which banquet are you going to pick? Because which banquet you pick, you get the hostess as well. And she's going to inform your character and who you are. And the invitation is not simply to a meal or to a hostess, but it's also to a house, isn't it? The house of Lady Wisdom was described as being hewn out of seven pillars. She's built a magnificent house. And there's been no end of speculation about those seven pillars. And you probably all have your own individual theories of what those seven pillars might be. Some people say, well, it's the 7 days of the week. That's the framework from creation, and that's what her pillars are. Other people say, oh, she's talking about the sun, moon, and the five known planets of the day. Well, honestly, Proverbs doesn't tell us. So speculation, speculation. We aren't going to agree on what those seven pillars are. But nonetheless, seven pillars means it's a big house. It's a big house with lots of space, lots of room. It's a place where there's stability, order. The number seven in the scriptures is the number of perfection. So her house is the perfect place. It's the place where there's stability and protection, and it will last. It reminds me a lot of what Jesus said about his Father's house. Jesus said in John 14, my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to go prepare a place for you? So Lady Wisdom's, the chapter 8 talked about her at the creation of the world. She has made a big, bountiful, spacious place for her guests to live and enjoy and thrive for all eternity. In contrast, Lady Folly's house is only described as a place of death. She said, but little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. So what a contrast here. This is what Proverbs has been setting up over and over again. Choose wisdom and you get life, you get good life, you get health, you get bounty. You choose folly and you get death, you get misery, and you don't get what you were promised. Just to go back for a second about those seven pillars, I found it intriguing that one of the leading scholars on Proverbs is Dr. Bruce Waltke, and he says that those seven pillars, those are really a framework for the rest of the book of Proverbs. He says that this house is chapters 1 through 9 being set up the framework that will the rest of Proverbs, chapters 10 through 31, will fill those rooms with various treasures and gems of insight into our world and into living well. And I found that to be an intriguing and maybe a helpful insight. So we have this contrast of the two houses, the two hostesses, the two meals, and it couldn't be more obvious to anybody with a little bit of discernment which is the better choice. So why do so many people accept Lady Folly's invitation? That's my second point. Why do we naturally gravitate towards that? As the kids said, I want the house with all the candy. I want the house of folly, the house that looks entertaining and no rules and just do whatever you want. Well, why do we do that? Well, I have three suggestions. The first one is original sin. Wisdom was there at the creation of the world. We saw that in chapter 8. And so she made this world with wisdom and guidance, and it's a beautiful place for us to live and thrive. But we took that fruit, that forbidden fruit, and fell into the ways of folly. We made a foolish decision as humanity. Adam and Eve, as our representatives, decided to go the way of that seduction. And they broke the command of God, and we call it the fall. And humanity has now entered into a broken relationship. So in other words, we got kicked out of the house, you could say. Maybe we were initially supposed to be dwelling there. We got kicked out as humanity for our sin, our disobedience. We couldn't be in God's presence once again. And so we have this brokenness, this disjointedness within us that is now fractured. We don't have a good relationship with God anymore. And we have therefore turned our back on God and are going our own way. As a humanity, as mankind, this is how we are. And therefore, we desire that folly. We desire more of evil because that's the direction we've pointed ourselves. We've turned our back on God and pointed our listening ear to the deception of Satan. And so we're naturally prone to that water that is stolen, or that seduction of the forbidden fruit. And some people have said, you know, they're talking about more than water here, just that sense of giving into to sexual temptations or seductions of different natures. Maybe not, but nonetheless, it is a invitation to what is wrong just for the sake of it being wrong. And there's something in us as humanity that does it just because it's wrong, whether we need it or not. As Presbyterians, we have a nice phrase for that. It's called total depravity. You might have heard of it. But what it's saying is not that we're all as bad as we possibly could be. Some people get that confused. What we're saying is that at the root of humanity is sin and rebellion against God. And we're going the wrong direction, and we relish evil for evil's sake. That's kind of in our root. And if our root's that way, we need to beware of the fruit, don't we? So we need to recognize that one reason why we're prone or natural tendency or maybe already in Lady Folly's house is because of original sin, about total depravity within us. And I think that speaks to how we view ourselves in the world too, because many of us want to say, well, we're basically all good people, right? We want to say that. We want to think about that, about ourselves and about others, that we're basically all good. Well, original sin says we're basically all not good. We basically all have a problem. And until we admit that problem, our sin, then we're not going to look for wisdom. We're going to just be content in folly. And so the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, to say we don't measure up. We have sin in our lives that we need dealt with. And that brings us to the gospel. Well, the second reason, so original sin's the first one. The second reason is that we're drawn to Lady Folly's house is that she's pictured as unruly. She's loud. She's seductive. She gets our attention, and she's popular. She seems to speak with such confidence, and people throng to hear her words. That's the picture we have. And I thought, don't we see that a lot in our culture, where the loudest voice gets the most attention? And maybe even in ourselves, we can think back to our last week, and not thinking about our kids right now, but just think about that loud, brash voice that got our attention, and we followed it just because it was loud, because it demanded our attention, and even though it was not wise. And we understood that if we had stopped for a minute and looked at who was speaking their character, that it wouldn't be a person we should be following. The third reason we sometimes end up so naturally in Lady Folly's invitation to her banquet is that it's quick and easy. We have this desire in us for junk food, don't we? Initially, it tastes good, even though, okay, we understand the long-term consequences may not be good. But we want something that's brainless, that's just easy. And I was reminded how our flesh is weak. We need to understand that. It kind of ties back into the original sin, doesn't it? Where our flesh is weak and we are prone to want what is sinful and wrong instead of what is right and good. And so we need God's Spirit within us to transform us, right? So that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God's kingdom, and desire that. On our own, we are naturally prone to just seek a life that is comfortable. But friends, God calls us to be holy and not conform to this world. That means that that call to holiness, that call to be distinct and different from our culture, means that we're going to be ignoring those loud, brash voices that are speaking folly, are speaking about living a world that does not acknowledge God, that speaks about living for our own choices and our own things, and we're going to be swimming against the stream. We're going to be going against the general world around us, the conformity that wants us to press us into, to herd us in like cattle into a chute to get us into Lady Folly's house. So we have to kind of listen to Lady Wisdom instead. And that's my third point, is that we are offered a choice here. Lady Wisdom is calling out. She sent out her maidservants and says, "Come, enjoy the banquet I have prepared." She says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." This call, this come, and in Hebrew it's turn. It's turn. It's that word for repentance. It's you're going one direction in life, and she's saying, turn from that. There's something better over here. And she's inviting us to leave the old way, our path that we were on, and redirect our lives to come in and to hear her wisdom and to accept her invitation. So it's a call to repent, to redirect our lives. And that's the call of Jesus, isn't it? That we are all like sheep that have gone astray, each one of us seeking our own ways. And Jesus' voice says, come follow me. Come, there's a better way to live. Come, there's some good promise of home and stability with your God, or your Father who's been broken, that I will restore. Come and find peace and rest to your heavy load. Come, find forgiveness and grace. It's that invitation and that attraction that we heard from Jesus that invites our souls. Invites our souls from the brokenness and the hardship of our current condition to find restoration and to find beauty and to find wonder and grace in Jesus. It's also, though, a call to leave. It's a call to leave. There is a cost here. The banquet has been paid for. It's been sacrificially prepared. We don't have to buy a ticket. We don't have to bring something to a potluck. We don't bring anything. It's all there ready for us. But the cost is that we have to leave. We have to leave the road. We have to leave the path we were on. We have to turn aside and decide to come and to walk in the ways of wisdom. And I like that, to walk in the way of insight. It's a walking, isn't it? It's not a destination that, okay, we got our wisdom, we don't have our insight, we're done. Like, no, it's that we continue to walk and grow in that. We continue to learn and thrive and be shaped by the wisdom and become transformed in our hearts and our minds into conformity to God and to His mind and the way that He invites us. You know, Jesus says the same thing. Come all you will. The invitation is free in the sense that He has paid the cost and His death for our forgiveness, for our resurrection. But He also says, come and follow me and turn from your life of sin, right? Leave the past behind. Leave your stealing and steal no more. Leave your promiscuity and find dedication and faithfulness. Leave your laziness and work for a living. He calls us to a new way of life. And some of that is rejecting the old. He says, basically, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He says, anybody who wants to follow me must pick up their cross and follow me. So it's a way of laying ourselves down and dying to self and following Christ through whatever He calls, whatever persecution may arise, because we know He is our Savior and He calls us. Well, between verses 6 and 13, this middle section sandwiched in there is more speech from Lady Wisdom. She gives us some reasons why some people reject her message and other peoples receive it. And I want to just quickly look at verses 7 through 12, because it gives us insight, first of all, to who we are, to look at our own heart as we look at this mirror and consider that, but also how the world is, how as we share our faith, how some people are going to reject it, and to understand that, and how why other people receive our words as we speak to them. So it says to the mocker, to the wicked person, don't even bother. Doesn't that what it said? Don't even bother with them. They're going to reject you. They're going to just heap insults on you. They're going to abuse you. So let them go. And friends, Jesus often did that. As people came arrogantly to them, he just turned them away. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests. I don't have any place to lay my head. If you want a comfortable life, go back. Go back. And sometimes we need to say that. Since that the cost of following Jesus is tough. And if you're not willing to die to yourself, then this isn't a call for you. So we just let them go, and we pray for them that God will change their heart, because what God needs to do is put in them a fear of the Lord. He needs to transform their worldview to recognize that they need a Savior. So who are these mockers? Well, you could say these mockers are the self-assured, thinking that they know everything when really they know nothing. They're those who are easily offended. They never accept correction. They look down on everybody else as inferior to themselves, and in their superiority, if that is questioned or threatened, they respond with scoffing, with heaping insults, with mocking others. Watch out for them. Watch out for them. The word of the Lord warns us about them. They're everywhere in our culture, and if we're brave enough, we might see them in the mirror too. So look in ourselves as well. So who are the wise? In the contrast to the mocker, the wise person accepts instruction and grows wiser. They even welcome rebukes and love you who are confronting them in their sin. Who is the wise person? They're humble. They acknowledge that they lack judgment, that they don't know everything, that they need correction and rebuke. These are people who, even when they're the wisest person in the room, still seek to learn from others and grow in insight from others. You've been around these people. You know they're the wisest person there, and yet they're still learning. They have that attitude of, I don't know everything. That's the wise. So where does this wisdom come from? It comes from verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's the theme of Proverbs, isn't it? We see it time and time again, and here in chapter 9 as we close the prologue. It's stated so clearly once again. It's the fear of the Lord. It's turning away from ourselves and seeking God that brings us into the way of wisdom. And isn't that what we need, is to be that wise person that says, I know my own heart. I know there's sin in there, and it's breaking that relationship with God, and it's the sinner who needs a Savior. It's the sick who need a doctor, and I realize that I need a doctor. I need someone to heal my brokenness. And we look to Jesus, and he comes, right? He is the path of salvation. He is the one who leads us to, he is the way to God. And so he transforms us. As we think about what Jesus said, he says that, you know, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Couldn't you say that wide is the road that leads to Lady Folly's house, who scoffs and mocks and thinks they know it all, who don't admit they have a problem that needs fixing, who thinks that everybody's just pretty good on their own. But narrow is the road, the path of the one who finds Lady Wisdom, who finds salvation and entrance through Jesus Christ, who admits that they need help, who admit that they are sinners, desperately in need of someone to forgive them and to bring reconciliation to God the Father. There is only one road and one path that leads through that narrow gate, and that is Jesus Christ. He alone is our salvation. My prayer is that all those who are listening today would find Jesus, would turn from our self-righteousness and find the abundant life that Jesus offers in his righteousness, and that finding ourselves on this path, we may grow and walk faithfully forward and grow in wisdom and rejection of that seduction of Satan and our old selves and the follies of this world. But what's the motivation? What's the motivation? Why should we do that? Well, Proverbs has been stated like a father to a son instruction, and they understand that we need to know that this is for our good, not just theoretically. And so Proverbs 9 says that. It says it's for your own good is what it says. And in a hyper-individualized world, sometimes we are weary of the gospel appeal that says do this for yourself. But yet sometimes when we're not all that wise and smart yet, we need to hear that. We need to hear, do this because it's for your own good, because life and peace will come to you if you have it. And so that's what Proverbs says. It says in verse 12, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. It says, if you choose this path, you're going to be blessed with more wisdom, and it's going to be your reward for you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. It brings us down to what do we want for ourselves? Not what do we want for the next person over or for someone else, but what about our hearts and the motivation that is for your own good, for your own eternal salvation? Choose Lady Wisdom. Choose Lady Wisdom, and don't be a mocker. Don't be those who are self-sufficient, who think that they have it all on their own, who don't need Jesus, who don't need anyone else to help them, because that is a lie that is going to lead to death. So there are two houses. There are two banquets, there are two hostesses, and there's two choices. My friends, which one will you choose? Not just one time, but continually choose, because the pressure of the Lady of Folly continues to bombard our hearts and minds, and we need to continue to say, no, I am going to listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm going to live my life knowing that God loves me. I'm going to live my life knowing that Jesus died for me, and he has called me to be his child and to follow after him. Friends, that is balm for our souls when we wake up in the morning and just say, woe is me, I am the worst of sinners. And then we remember that is who Jesus came to save, you and me. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do thank you that you have redeemed us in Jesus Christ. Not because we are got it all together and we're pretty good people, because we were lost. We were going in our own way, and that way was headed right to destruction. And you stepped in out of mercy and love and called us. And you put your spirit within us to recognize your voice of wisdom, to recognize Jesus as the Son of God who has come to redeem the worst of sinners. And that has brought life to us. And Lord, we want to keep growing in that wisdom and keep learning from you. Lord, would you continue your good work that you have begun and carry it out to completion in the day of Christ Jesus? For that is the trajectory, that is the longing of our hearts. We do hunger and thirst for more of you, and we thank you that you delight to give good gifts to your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have a final hymn, and I need to also make a note on this final hymn. It's Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. It's an invitation, I think, as I read through it, to wisdom's banquet. But there is a phrase in there that can be, you may wonder what it means. So at the end of the chorus, it says 10,000 charms. And words have meaning, and today you might think of like Lucky Charms or Charm Bracelet or something magical there. This hymn was written in the 1700s, and the meaning had very different connotations then. So a charm was back in the 1700s was an attractive quality, okay? So when you come to Jesus, in his arms are 10,000 attractive qualities. And I think that we can sing this song recognizing that we're kind of like that prodigal son in the parable of Jesus, those who have been gone our own way, spurned our Heavenly Father, and yet come to a sense of realization that we have a need, and our Father is good, and he will receive us. And so we hurry back, and indeed, Jesus is waiting for us in open arms. So let us stand and sing together. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Then stay standing to receive the benediction. This is from Romans 11. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has received from God that God should repay them? For from him, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much, Rick. Those who are visiting, we always have that pause here, and now we're off Facebook. So any other announcements that